Hello, and welcome back to We Are the Weirdos, Mister, the podcast for all things cult, camp, queer, and creepy. I am your host, Hillary Michelle Post, and I'm joined today by my sister, Lacey Mason. Say hi, Lacey.
Hi, Lacey.
I'm so excited to be doing this movie. I've been wanting to do this movie forever, and I couldn't because it wasn't streaming anywhere. It wasn't even available to rent or buy. It was just in a void. It was just gone for months and months and months and months. But now the streaming gods have smiled upon us, and it is available for free on Tubi. Today we are talking about Showgirls. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited! I'm so excited!
Well played.
I mean, that was my first thought going into this. I was like, okay, don't think Jesse when you're watching this movie. Just watch this movie for what it is. And the first time you see her, Sam starts singing that. I'm so scared. And I'm like, shut up. And so I can't. I just can't.
As someone who also abused caffeine pills in their youth, she was always very dramatic. I never had a Jesse Spano meltdown. Speaking of caffeine.
I only ever took like a caffeine pill in my life, and I Jesse Spanoed on somebody at my job. So there was no abuse of that for me, because I realized right away this is not for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's perfectly encapsulated by the fact that right now Lacey is sipping some decaf coffee and I'm pounding a Monster Energy drink at 10 in the morning.
And if I had, I mean, I've already had a regular cup of coffee, and if I had had two, oh God.
Oh, that's funny. So what's your background with the film, Lace? Like, when was the first time you saw it?
Sam says it was only like 6 months ago, but what that really translates to is like 2 years, because he thinks everything happened yesterday. But I don't know if I ever even cared to watch it, because I'm like, are you, I don't know, just her. But he's like, come on, nudes, let's do it. He loves it. So, well, he likes to make fun of it. So yeah, we watched it a couple years ago, and I liked it better this time than I did the first time, because I just couldn't take it seriously. But I didn't even take a whole lot of notes, because I actually made myself really, really pay attention to the last part. And I don't know how I feel about it. Still, I'm excited to hear what you have to say. This bitch has been working on this shit all week. So
I love it so much. I just always have. It's just so, I remember the first time I watched it, it was like edited for television, which is hilarious. If you ever have a chance to watch the edited for TV version, I recommend, just because it's so funny. They like use MS Paint to like draw bras on everybody to cover up all the boobies.
Shut up.
I swear to God. I'll send you in our chat later today. I'll send you, a picture of it. It's so funny. Oh man. Cause this movie is NC-17 and it is like indecipherable when you try to edit it for television.
Yeah.
So I was watching it like that way first. It was so funny. And I was like, I'm missing out on so much. I have to see the unedited version. I don't know how old I was when I finally saw it unedited. Pretty old, I feel.
What about the first time you tried to watch it though? Like how old?
Oh, super young. I remember it being on like TNT or something when I was like a teenager.
Really, TNT? Come on now.
Yeah. Oh, funny. And I just have always had a huge crush on Gina Gershon. So I was like enamored. I was totally into it. And she's all queer in this. And I'm like, yes, Gina Gershon.
Who's that? The main chick?
No, it's Crystal.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Ew, really?
You did not just ooh, Gina Gershon.
Yeah, she scares me.
Oh, a million years jail for Lacey.
That's fine, God. As long as I don't have to do it with her. She scares me.
Have you never seen Bound? Yes. No. Oh my God. You gotta see Bound. Sam will let you watch Bound. It's her and Jennifer Tilly, and it's just like they fuck in it, and it's so hot. And oh God.
This bitch, Sam will let you. I do what I want.
Well, I
He's
mean,
okay with it. No. He'll watch it with me.
he'll watch it with you. Yeah, it's really hot. Oh, like Gina Gershon plays the Butch, and Jennifer Tilly's the femme, and they're just oh.
Oh, he would be done. He'd not 20 minutes in. Be like, he loves Jennifer Tilly. Oh my God.
Oh, I do too. There's so much to talk about. Let's try to unpack this. Hey, Daddy Girl. So, you can't talk about this movie without first talking about the men who made it. Writer Joe Esterhaus, Esterhaus, and the director Paul Verhoeven. So, because it's just like, it's all their fault. Literally, figuratively, it's all their fault. So, Joe Esterhaus is a Hungarian-American screenplay writer and author who, interestingly enough, attended the same college as me. I just learned that for the first time yesterday, which tickles the shit out of me.
I can't believe you've never heard that before.
I know. Because, like, I always heard of the people that went to the same school as school of theater as me. Like, when I was in theater, everyone would talk about who also went there, but like, he was probably like a journalism major or some shit. So, he wrote the screenplay for Flashdance, Basic Instinct, a bunch of other movies. The idea for Showgirls, he said, was based on an idea that he just scribbled on a napkin. And Esterhaus was advanced $2 million to write the script, and then picked up an additional $1.7 million when the studio produced it into a film. So that, along with the scripts for Basic Instinct and Sliver, made Esterhaus the highest paid screenwriter in Hollywood history. And I don't even know if that's been beat yet. I just, holy shit. They pay that
That
man a lot of
sells.
money. It really does.
Titties.
You
But I
found his
guess
niche.
for me, I don't know. Like, the script would be amazingly hot, but it just didn't translate for me because of her.
Now, well, we'll get more into that. But yeah, poor Elizabeth Berkley. I've read that 1 week before the movie's opening, Joe Esterhaus caused a small controversy during an interview where he called upon young people to use fake IDs to gain access to the NC-17 rated movie.
Smart.
Yeah. He's a goob, man. And like, he's always been really wishy-washy about how his movies are interpreted and how they are like reported upon. Like, I remember reading about how, there was protests when Basic Instinct came out because people found it homophobic because Sharon Stone's character is bisexual and a murderer and all this shit. And I think Joe Esterhaus was even like, "Yeah, you're right." And it's just like, "Joe, you wrote it." Like, pick a side, bro. I don't know. And like, he after this movie but came out, he like released a whole full page ad in Variety talking about how, this was a morality tale and blah blah blah, and more women should go see it. And he's a try hard, bless his heart.
Yeah, they gave him a lot of money. He wanted to make sure he got some of it back for them.
I guess if I had the, if I
Right
was getting paid that much to write a script and shit, I'd been like, whatever. After I got that coin, I would just
there.
be like, kick back, have fun. Now the director, Paul Verhoeven, something Dutch. Every time I hear it's pronounced differently. So it's Verhoeven, Hoven, Hoven, Haven. I don't know. I just had a stroke. Paul is a Dutch director who began his career in the Netherlands before coming to work in America. He made films like RoboCop, Total Recall, Basic Instinct, Starship Troopers. His latest film, Vendetta, has been causing a stir because it's about lesbian nuns. And frankly, it looks awesome, and I want to see it really bad. The thing with Paul is that whenever he made films that dealt with themes having to do with, like, violence, like RoboCop or Total Recall, okay, he was seen as a satirist and a commentator on those themes, right? Mm-hmm. But then, the poor guy, whenever he tries to make a film with themes that having to do with sexuality, he's never given the grace to be interpreted as a satirist and a commentator on that theme. He's just seen as, like, a dirty pervert.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Which is not a thesis I came up with. That was something that was discussed in the documentary that I watched yesterday called You Don't Know Me. About this movie. Yes. I spent money on a documentary about a movie that I had just watched for free on Tubi. It was... I have a problem.
No.
But when they said that in the documentary, I was like, God, that's a really good point. Like, you know, people watch Starship Troopers and understand that it's a commentary on warmongering and shit like that. But then people watch something like Basic Instinct or Sliver or something like this, like Showgirls, and just like, oh, he's just a dirty old man that likes to see boobies. I was like, well... Give him a little benefit of a doubt. He may not be like an artiste, but he also is trying to say something. Verhoeven deferred 70% of his $6 million director's fee, depending on if the film turned a profit. Which I don't think it did. Let's check the stats real quick on how this movie did. The movie cost anywhere between $40 and $45 million to make, and the box office only made $37.8 million. Now, something to keep in mind is that this was the first NC-17, I think maybe only to date, first NC-17 movie to get a wide release. Usually, an NC-17 is like a death knell for a movie. It just really limits what could be done with it. But I feel like once it came out on video, it became such a cult classic that once it came out on video, it did really well. So I feel like they've definitely made their money back in video. It's still within the top 20 MGM most purchased movies ever on video. So
yeah,
who knows? Money-wise, it probably worked out okay.
I mean, it really did kind of limit who could go see it in the theater.
Yeah.
Why he pimped it the way he did, but...
Yeah. A lot of actresses were considered for the role of Nomi. Pam Anderson, Drew Barrymore, Angelina Jolie, Jenny McCarthy, Denise Richards, Charlize Theron.
Oh my God. Angelina Jolie would have made this part. Sexy.
Oh my God. My brain can't even process it. If it was Angelina Jolie, I would have just died from... At 15, watching this movie, my brain would have exploded and I'd have been dead. she's so hot. But they all turned it down. Actually, I don't know if that's true. I feel like Charlize Theron was, like, up for it, but something happened. That was really early in Charlize's career.
That would have been hot, too.
Mm-hmm. I think the studio really wanted Drew. If you notice, there's a...
Ugh.
Yeah. There's a scene where when Nomi first gets hired and she goes and she gets given her her mirror backstage, on the mirror is a name tag that says Drew, and they take it down and give it to her. Symbolism.
Wow.
Yeah.
No. She might be sexy to some people, but no.
She doesn't do it for you?
No. A chin. So I have a chin thing. I, no.
Do you think, not taking into account Elizabeth Berkley's acting in this movie, do you think she's sexier than Drew?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100 times. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't find Drew very more sexy, though. Huh. Like, I don't know. The lip liner is a lot, but this is a lot. I wouldn't want to see Drew Barrymore naked. And I'm sure men don't feel that way, but I personally don't really want to.
Yeah. Madonna, Sharon Stone, Sean Young, Daryl Hannah were all up for the role of Crystal. But like the studio really wanted Madonna. Like the studio's vision was Madonna and Drew Barrymore.
Yes, my brain just exploded with Angelina Jolie and Madonna. I don't know.
I personally think that Gina Gershon is a better actress than Madonna, personally.
That's true. I don't really think she's a great actress.
Yeah. Kyle MacLachlan said that Dylan McDermott was the first choice to play Zach. But when he declined, MacLachlan was then cast.
Kyle Chin MacLachlan?
Speaking of chins, God. Can you imagine him and Drew Barrymore have just been Chin City?
Trying to kiss each other.
It is said that Esterhaus and Verhoeven interviewed over 200 Las Vegas strippers and incorporated parts of their stories into the screenplay to show the amount of exploitation the strippers in Vegas experienced. Which I buy that, but it seems a little heavy-handed because there's stuff in this that just feel like they heard an anecdote of it once and just threw it in as if it would create realism when it just kind of sounded hokey and weird.
Right.
And especially anytime it has to do with it.
Yeah.
Right. Dialogue between women in this movie is just, oh my God. Like, have they never heard a woman talk ever? So let's get into the plot. Our main character is Nomi Malone, who we see hitchhiking her way to Vegas to be a dancer there. So Lacey, how old do you think Nomi is supposed to be?
You know, I guess I never even thought about it because she looks like 25 to me. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to say, like, you know, 19.
Boom! Goes the dynamite. Good job. Because I always interpret her as older. Because there's just something about Elizabeth Berkley that just is like road weary. You know what I mean? And I always consider her like at least like in her late 20s. But in the documentary I watched, Esterhaus said moral values and spiritual choices as a young 19-year-old woman makes them. I was like, she's supposed to be 19? Holy shit.
That would have been really great to know in the first scene because that would have helped me with the way that she behaves. Like, I know that she's supposed to be crazy, but she's like over the top. And I guess young bitches can be like that. So maybe that's something they should have stressed upon us a little bit somehow.
Yeah.
But they're so secretive about who she is, so.
Yeah. She's picked up by a skeezy guy in a truck with a mullet. Who, by the way, during this entire scene, barely looks at the road. I remember watching it this time and just kept going, look the road. Look the road. You're driving a car. Look the road.
I always notice that. I'm like, oh, my God. You'd already be dead.
He suggests that Nomi sit closer to him and she pulls a switchblade on him. And already, Elizabeth Berkley is swinging for the fences, baby. She's overacting her ass off.
Her lips. Like, not only does she have them, like, extremely overlined, but she, like, purses them the entire time. Like,
mm-hmm. Oh. Like, look like a blow-up doll as much as possible.
But she's now, just like angry face. Oh my God.
I was going to mention this earlier, but I wanted to at least wait till we got into the plot and we got into Elizabeth Berkley's acting. In her defense, Paul Verhoeven has gone on record to say he told her to do that.
I was going to say, I'm sure this is exactly how it was written, but she's just so, she's big.
She's very big.
Her personality's big. She's tall. Her movements are big. So, like, you have to rein it in just a smidge. Or you look like me after, like, 3 fully leaded crappuccinos.
But the great thing, at least her overacting right off the bat, lets you know as soon as you start this movie what you're in for. You're like, yes, this is insanity. Awesome. So Mullet Guy takes her to a casino and he convinces her to leave her stuff in his truck while they go in. And he's going to ask his buddy who works there to try to set her up with a job. And he even gives her $10 to play the slots while she waits. So she plays, wins big, then loses it all. Which, hello, foreshadowing.
Right.
Then when she runs out of money, a guy approaches her and solicits her for sex. And she walks away and the guy yells, sooner or later, you're going to have to sell it. Oh, my God, Jesus. And then Nomi realizes that Mullet Guy hasn't come back yet. And she runs out to the parking lot and sees that he has taken off with her suitcase. And she proceeds to throw a tantrum over it, punching and kicking a nearby car. And the owner of said car, Molly, who's the only person in this movie who's not a piece of shit, she shows up at that moment and tries to pry Nomi off of her car. And they get into, like, the weirdest fight ever. The fight choreography is...
Me and you fighting.
Nomi then inexplicably throws up and then runs into oncoming traffic. And Molly saves her. And they have this weird, intimate, almost kiss with their, like, foreheads touching. And they hug.
I know. I'm like, oh, puke breath. Don't kiss her.
Yeah. It was at this moment, while watching this with Mom, that she asked, is this the gay movie? Is that why you're watching it? And I had to clarify that, yes, it is kind of gay, but that wasn't why I was doing it. I was like, it's only, like, gay adjacent. It's a cult classic, Mom. Shut up. Shut up and watch it. That happens almost every single time I sit down with Mom and make her watch a movie. It's like, is this a gay thing? 9 times out of 10, yes, Mom, yes it is. Shut up.
It's like, and if I say yes, what? You're not going to watch it? Like,
right. I mean, she usually sucks it up. And bless her heart. No, our mom's cool. She's very patient. I mean, the stuff I make Mom watch and the stuff I talk around my mom, none of my friends could do around their mothers. So,
A freaking man.
Mom's a trooper. She's just very cool.
She just probably screams in her pillow a lot at night after speaking with us.
Oh, God. Like, yesterday she was on the phone with an old friend that she hadn't talked to in a long time. And, like, she mentioned you, didn't mention me at all.
What?
Yeah. And I was just like, I was waiting for it. I was like, what is she going to tell her? What could she possibly say? Because she mentioned that, like, she doesn't have any grandbabies or anything. And I'm just waiting for her to be like, yeah, Hillary is a queer degenerate who got her tubes tied. And I was like, how do you explain me? Mom didn't even try. She just didn't even bring me up.
I was going to say, what? She probably had nothing to say. She's unemployed. She's married. Living in the same house. I can't even imagine what she tells people about me.
Oh, same.
She bakes. She bakes cakes.
So Molly and Nomi go to get some food, and Molly tries to get to know more about Nomi, but Nomi's, like, really evasive about it. My second favorite line reading of this whole movie is when she, like, throws her french fries and goes, different places.
I know. Oh my god. I wrote down when she said that. I was like, I am not offering a home to this fry flinging bitch.
Right. But inexplicably, Molly, who's like the nicest person ever, lets Nomi move in with her. And it jumps forward a couple months. And they're just like living together in this trailer. And every time they're in that trailer, like, the only conversations they ever have to do with fingernails and potato chips. Like, that's all women talk about.
Right. In their underwear.
In their underwear. Molly comes home and just immediately starts tripping. We're like, yeah, that's what we do. That's. Molly works as a costumer for the show at the Stardust. And she invites Nomi to come to work with her. Since Nomi wants to be a dancer and she wants to see what it's like. And there's a bunch of, we see the backstage and there's a bunch of chaos and all these crazy characters. There's two characters that like actually forward the plot in a way later, but I can't remember their fucking names. And I couldn't find them on IMDb because they look so different from what their characters did that I couldn't even like ascertain what their characters' names were. There's the white girl with braids. And there's like the really pretty short haired black girl.
They're like my favorite part. It's like, I want more. Why? Right.
Like, and they're actually pretty understated considering like their acting is kind of normal.
Yeah.
And they hate each other. So that pays off later. So we get a glimpse. Nomi gets to go up into the showroom and watch the show. And we get to see Goddess. And we see Gina Gershon reveal as Crystal Connors. She's like the star of this show, right? Which, in terms of like what the show entails, just means she's the dancer with the spotlight on her. Otherwise, it's pretty much all. But it's just, I don't understand the appeal of topless Vegas reviews. I don't get it. Like, I love boobies as much as the next person, but I can't imagine being like, oh yeah, I want to pay all this money to watch a bunch of people do mediocre choreography. Just because their titties are out.
See, that's just it. Like, if the choreography was good, you wouldn't have to have your titties out.
Right.
But, like, they had a lot of fanfare going on the stage. You know, the costumes and the flashes and all that. That must be what it's about. Production.
Yeah. I mean, I would sit and watch all of Goddess. That's, like, the best part of the movie, to be honest. Like, and when you take away the irony of enjoying the camp factor of it, the production value of the show Goddess is kind of fun. The costumes are cool.
Yeah.
But Mom and I just kept just like, is it just, who pays just to see boobies? Like, you can see boobies for free.
I guess I don't understand what makes the Goddess, like, so special.
Yeah, exactly.
She doesn't do any different choreography, or she doesn't have bigger boobies, or, I don't know, she's not more naked. It's just, I don't know.
Right. Like, that should be the thing. That should, like, everyone else should be, like, scantily clad, but, like, the Goddess is the one that has her titties out.
Right.
I don't know.
Or really comes out there and just, like, busts a move that blows everybody's mind.
Oh, yeah.
Or sing. Yeah. Something. Something. Do something.
Something. So, after the show, Molly introduces Nomi to Crystal. And Gina Gershon has this great, like, Southern accent. This that's, like, really subtle. Like, she doesn't really have an accent, but she says, like, y'all and ain't and but you know what I mean, it's just like the most bare minimum.
Nomi looks extremely, to me this is the best she looks in the entire movie, by the way,
in that little fringe dress
and the little cute pink fringe dress with her butt hanging out and her hair's pinned up. I love the look.
It's very cute. She says that she's a dancer and she asks where she dances and she says at the Cheetah, which is a topless strip club. And Crystal says, you know, whatever you're doing at the Cheetah, it ain't dancing. And Nomi gets all offended and turns off.
Shut the fuck up, you don't know me, or whatever.
You don't know shit.
There's something about, like, a 6 foot tall woman, like, high stepping, stomping, 3 year old stomping out of her room. She does it. What do you mean you don't have Sprite? And just fucking stomps out of the room. Too much. Oh, God.
That'd be the other thing, too. If she was, like, a little tiny petite thing, then she'd be, like, a little spitfire, and you would just be like, oh, well, she has a Napoleon complex. But you're right. She's, Elizabeth Berkley is, like, an Amazon. She's a million feet tall and in heels constantly just.
Yeah, yeah. And I've experienced that because I'm a big person, and my emotions are big. And you don't realize, like, how intimidating you can be. I know I'm squishy on the inside, but, like, when I start to get pissed, people are like, oh, she's gonna step on me. So, like, you really do have to rein it in because being a big person is very intimidating to, I don't know, like, my friends are all, like, 5'2", so.
Um, Nomi is too upset to go to work that night after the whole ordeal. So Molly takes her to a club to go dancing. And sidebar, during the scene, one of my favorite David Bowie songs is playing. It's a really underrated song called I'm Afraid of Americans. Love that fucking song. Nomi's out there dancing. And James, the bouncer, comes over and starts dancing with her. And he's very contradictory because once he wants to dance with her because she's a good dancer, but then he like mocks the way she dances. It's like, make up your mind. Is she a good dancer or isn't she?
Yeah, but dudes do that. You know, the whole insult you to make you want to fuck him. I don't know why it works, but excuse me? I don't know, in this case, it doesn't work.
Yeah, she gets pissed. Is it really that hard to fake good dancing? That's another thing. Acting is one thing. Emoting, delivering lines, those are all character choices. But there's something about the way they choreograph her, how she dances, that I don't get. It's not that hard to illustrate that someone can dance well. And they just have her acting like a fucking crazy person.
I don't care what anybody says. Like, if you're not, because she's just not a dancer. It's clear that she's not a dancer. And she just doesn't have that grace. She's just big and lunky and, I don't know. when you say stuff like that, I'm like, that's just like telling me to go out there and pretend like I'm a good dancer. Ain't happening.
But when she does choreographed dancing, like in Goddess, she's fine. It's whenever it's Nomi dancing Nomi's own steps. Like Nomi just being Nomi is when she looks like a real spaz. When she's doing the choreographed stuff, she's just as good and effervescent and like your eyes drawn to her. But well, the whole James thing
would
is
make right. Sense. Yes. And the whole thing would make sense if maybe she looks like a spaz and then somebody gets their hands on her and tames the wild beast and it just gets better.
Right.
But you're right. Like that part doesn't ever change. On her own, she never really.
Yeah. So Nomi is offended by James's negging, and she knees him in the balls, which makes him fall into another guy. And then that guy and James start fighting, and this whole big old fight breaks out. And she's all smiling, like she is tickled to death that she started this fight. She's a psycho. But the other bouncers are like, oh, she's the one that started it. So they throw her out. Excuse me. But she gets arrested, which I feel like is a little extreme. It'd be one thing if James was like, I'm pressing charges. She need me in the nuts. But like James had nothing to do with it. She just gets thrown in jail. The next morning, James bails Nomi out of jail. And she doesn't say thank you or anything. Which kills me because, like, Molly's there to pick her up. I was like, okay, why didn't Molly come and bail her out? Was Molly, like, did she just show up at that moment? Was she just waiting for, just sitting in the parking lot waiting?
Well, I'd love to know how you need bailed out. I don't even know why she got arrested in the first place, but why would they even have to pay to get her out? Jesus.
Right. Like, and there's never a follow-up. There's not, like, a court date or anything. It's just like, okay, she's out. Because usually it'd be like the drunk tank or whatever, and just like in a few hours they'd let you go.
Right.
So the next scene, we see Nomi at work, her job at the Cheetah. We see her boss Al Torres, who's a piece of shit. He's introducing a new girl, whose name is Penny, but he dubs her Hope. All the dancers have fake names. Like Nomi's name is Heather. Which is weird, because I can understand replacing someone's name Penny. Penny sounds really too sweet and cutesy. But, like, the name Nomi is cool.
I like Nomi.
Yeah, to go from Nomi to no offense to Heather's, because obviously I love my Heather. But, like, this is a weird, I don't know. You'd think if anytime you're going from a real name to a fake name, you'd go for something more exotic.
Yeah.
And Al busts Nomi's chops for not being there the night before. And her excuse was, I was having my period, Al. Because periods happen in one night, like a full moon werewolf situation. It's just one night and then it's done. Which, I don't know. Do you think girls who dance, do you think they take time off when they're on their period? Or they just... I guess you'd have to, because places like that, they are even bottomless. So you couldn't even have a tampon string hanging out.
That's true. And I mean, even so, maybe you could work it to where you can leave your panties on. But if you have a heavy flow, what are you going to do?
Yeah. God.
That would be... I couldn't do that. I could only work half the month. Sorry.
Yeah. Shout out to sex workers and exotic dancers. You guys are the real MVPs, man. Having to deal with that shit. Man.
You always feel so yucky and bloated. Like, you wouldn't want to put on freaking sexy clothes. And, oh, no.
To be fair, dancers do make a lot of money, so they can probably afford to not work when they don't want to.
That's true.
Speaking of which... If you like movies about dancers and sex workers and things like that, you have to watch the movie Zola. I've already lectured Lacey. She has to watch it. It's on Stars. It is so good. I kind of want to do an episode about it, but I'm going to wait till it's out longer, because it's only been out for like not even a year, I don't think. But it's really good.
I don't
good.
Have Stars. I think the only thing I don't have.
Or no, not Stars. Showtime.
Oh, Chitra. I don't have that either anymore. I cut back just to regular old Hulu. I know, I'm already missing everything. Oh, God. I'm not going to last very long.
We see there's a lady that works at the Cheetah. She's like a comedian who performs in between dances. Her name's Henrietta. She's this bigger woman. And she has these dresses that are rigged that when she, like, puts her arms down, her titties pop out of her dress. And she's got the weirdest looking titties.
She really does. I'm like, good on you for showing them, because they're so bizarre.
But they're weird.
They're shaped right for what she's doing, because mine, you'd never see them. Like, they're right. They're at least perky where they're supposed to be, I guess.
Yeah. My dress would have to, like... roll up from the bottom to see my nipples.
Yes, exactly. Right. Or like I'd pull it down and I'd have one sticking out and the other one would be tucked down into my dress. It just wouldn't work for me.
Mom and I argued. She's like, is that a guy? I'm like, no. Are you sure?
I was not sure myself. Especially after he makes the joke about the fucking, what's the skin around the pussy? Or what's he saying?
What's that useless skin around a twat, a woman? Yeah.
A woman. I was like, holy shit.
That's the thing about Henrietta. Henrietta, we see her little act, and she's like talking to an audience member. Henrietta makes jokes as if she's roasting somebody, but all she's roasting is herself.
Yeah.
So, like, this guy stands up and he's like, pull your dress up. And she's like, you couldn't fuck me with all these rolls of fat. She's like, you wouldn't even find the thing. I'd have to piss on you to give you a clue. And it's just like, Henrietta, like, those aren't sick burns. You're just making fun of yourself. The delivery is just weird.
That's just, I don't know. That's a fat people move right there. Yeah, I'm going to say everything I can. Yep.
And the guy that stands up and says something to her. Oh, my God. I can't even remember his name now. He's a that guy. He is in everything. He was in like every Disney show when we were growing up. He was like in Even Stevens and That's So Raven. And he's a comedy writer. He does a lot of writing, but like he just randomly shows up in everything.
Huh.
Yeah. And I always forget he's in this. And then when I see him, I'm like, ah, it's that guy. He's like the ultimate that guy. So Crystal shows up at the Cheetah with her boyfriend, Zach, who is the like entertainment director at the Stardust. Played, like I mentioned before, by Kyle MacLachlan. And they're like all coked out. And Crystal, we realize that like Crystal is like fascinated with Nomi. And it's this weird dichotomy of she lusts after her, but you can tell she's also envious of her and is like insecure about it. It's just this weird, it's a weird thing. Which I think is interesting and is worthy of a film to examine.
Mm-hmm.
and is a unique experience with queer people, where you have those relationships with people that the lines are blurred. You know, do I want you or do I want to be you? That kind of thing. And they watch Nomi dance. And I know it's like an iconic shot, but every time Nomi licks that pole, I'm like, what?
Oh, God. Yeah, don't even get me started.
It's so gross. Mom and I both were like, ew.
I'm sorry. I can't stop laughing because when you said, do I want you or do I want to be you? I was thinking to myself, I bet you that is what every fucking guy I ever dated. I bet that was their inner struggle, wasn't it?
That's an interesting interpretation. I've never heard a straight woman. Why do you think men want to be you?
I don't know. I just date a lot of gay guys.
Oh, I see. Oh, God. Oh, that went right over my head. And I'm like, oh, I see. Yes. Yeah, same. I did too.
I'm a hotter man than most of them. That's why.
Well, I think to be fair, I mean, it's twofold. I mean, you and I both have attracted a lot of queer men. We have queer energy, and not only do we exude an open-mindedness that makes them feel safe, but we also have like an intrinsic masculine energy about us.
Yay, good for us.
Well, I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, it's not, because we attract everybody.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
God, if I had a nickel for every person that's just like, oh man, you'd be a great boyfriend. I'm like, God damn it. Just let me have a vagina and still be with you. I don't know what to tell you.
I wish that we could swap roles, because when I was in high school, I was the girl that everybody thought, maybe I could experiment with her. I'm hot girls. Hot girls.
No.
And I'm just like, man, it's too freaking bad that this isn't doing more for me than it is. Like, I think I always appreciated the attention way more than I ever thought, oh, I could really get into this.
Yeah.
But it happened to me a lot in high school. But then the guys that I liked were gay too, so, you know.
Just attracting all the gays from every direction. Yep.
Mom's that way. Dad's that way.
Totally. We got it, honestly.
Yep, we did. Anyway.
Anyway. So Crystal wants Nomi to give her and Zach a lap dance. And Nomi's like, nope, sorry, that's against the rules. No women are allowed back there. Which is really dumb.
Poor shit. Yes.
Why would that be a rule? You'd think anyone who wants to give me their money, I would give them a lap dance. It's just so stupid. But Crystal's like, I'll pay you $500. And Al is like, sold. So they go back to the back room to do a lap dance. And Crystal just like sits off to the side to watch and just like grind her vagina against a chair while she watches. And while Nomi is giving Zach this lap dance, James is peeking in and watching. Which, how the fuck did James find out where she worked?
That's what I said. And then I'm like, how is he staying in there? Because when they came through, there was a bodyguard there. And he was gone just long enough for this
for James to start peeking, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think of Nomi's lap dance?
Oh, it makes me so uncomfortable. So uncomfortable. And I'm like, okay, this just has to be me. And I'm just like, babe, is this doing anything for you? And he's just like, it's a lot. So he didn't really answer, but he didn't look like he was, like, getting anything from it.
Yeah, he wasn't titillated.
Yeah, no.
Like, I understand the objective is to, like, make the guy come or whatever. But by the end, you're not dancing. You're just, like, grinding. But you can at least do that in a sexy way. She's just, like, fucking... I just imagine her vagina was so chafed after...
Well, I just feel like he would have had to have had, like, a fucking Subway, like, overhead bar. Like, whoa! Like, he's not just gonna just sit there without holding on to something and not fucking fall off that chair. She is grinding the shit out of him. Oh, God.
Well, for whatever it's worth, it works. She makes him come, so brava. And
I asked him, I said, now, if I said, would that really work? I was like, you know, the craziness aside, I was like, does that really work? He's like, oh, yeah, that would work. I was like, oh, okay.
I just don't understand. I don't understand. I don't get the appeal. I mean, if I was really rich, I would go to a strip club and I would pay for a dance and I would have a good time. But about at least 50% of that would be me wanting to lavish these girls with money.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
The guys that like spend so much money at clubs just to have someone do some like middle school over the clothes dry humping. I don't understand. I remember my ex.
We're never going to understand it because we have vaginas.
Yeah.
And we can look like toads and we can get somebody to touch us. It is not that easy because men just aren't. If you're not charming and you don't have, I mean, maybe you got money, but even that's not enough. If you're ugly and you can't carry on a conversation and you're dumbass, like nobody's going to touch you. Like that's the one thing we have. We might not make as much money as men, but I can get somebody to touch my hoo-ha. I can walk off this hill within 5 minutes and get somebody to touch my hoo-ha.
You're not wrong. Yeah, you're right.
It's just easier to throw money at someone and just for 5 minutes feel like you're sexy.
Yeah. God, that's depressing.
Isn't it?
Poor men. Whoever thought that Hillary on the show would be like, oh, man.
Yeah, no shit. I can't believe I just made that happen. Mic drop. I'm out.
Mic drop. Oh, God. So the next morning, James shows up at Nomi's place, which, again, how the fuck did he get her address?
Do you think he's hot?
No.
I can't decide. I go back and forth with it. There are things that I like about him. Yeah. You know, the gas station look check. Why is he check? I do like the hair, but
me too.
I mean, his name is James, and he's a little too much for me. So no.
He goes there to like lecture her, basically, about how like all she's doing is fucking. She's like, I didn't fuck anybody. And he's like, that's how you dance. You dance like you're fucking. That's all you're doing. And he basically implies that she's a whore, which you cannot say to Nomi because that makes her flip out. But here comes my favorite line in the whole movie. Man, everybody got AIDS and shit. It's so funny. I'm just like, James, you can't get AIDS when the man keeps his pants on.
Yeah.
Worry not. That's I get what he means in terms of like her fucking. I wasn't really fucking, but man, everybody got AIDS and shit. It's such a non sequitur. It makes me laugh so hard. I literally when that line came, I was like, it was grabbing mom sitting next to me, shaking her like, man, everybody got AIDS and shit.
It's just funny because you can tell that this guy preys on certain types of people and what he does works for him. Mm-hmm. And as young and dumb and hot-headed as she, it doesn't work for her. Like,
right.
The way he does it does not work for her.
Yeah.
And he uses the word bitch a lot.
Yeah.
Like, if a guy looked at me and called me bitch, I'm like, because when he said it, I'm like, I bet you half the girls he says that to, that makes her totally hot. I would fucking rip your face off. You would never say that to me again.
Yeah, the whole negging thing does not work with post women. That's not new.
Oh, I can't say that it doesn't. I cannot say that it doesn't. But it cannot be quite as direct.
Well, it doesn't work with me. You either have to worship the ground I walk on, or I'm like, go fuck yourself. <Didn't bother. laughs> After being in like an abusive relationship for years, now I'm just like, I ain't got time for nothing but admiration.
No, that makes sense. And I guess I only say that because I'm married to a guy, like, I can't do anything wrong. I walk in, like, smear poop on my face, and I'd be like, do I look good? Yeah. I like it. Like, he just, you know, I'm always looking for pushback. Anything.
That's why it gets you hot. It happens so rarely. You're like, yeah, be mean.
Exactly. Exactly. It took me a lot of years and a lot of breaking up to figure this out. Like, oh, okay.
So Crystal sends someone from Goddess to Cheetah to tell Nomi that she got an audition. And at first she's like, oh, that's great. But then she was like, Crystal, this is Crystal's doing. So she's like a little apprehensive. But she goes to the audition. And when she first shows up, the director, I think his name's Tony. He calls her Pollyanna. And she's like, what did you call me? And he's like, you look like Pollyanna. And so she runs backstage and she like rips off her top and like tries to make herself look sexier. And she's wearing those like bell bottoms that are way too short. Okay. This scene and the next scene.
All
she's
I could think
pants.
Was like, are you really on your period? Because if you're really on your period, you ain't wearing them pants. Like camel toe shit. It just looks like she pulled her outfit out of the dryer like 10 minutes too late.
Everything's like...
Yeah.
Yeah. So she does. Shout out to dancers, man, because I know this is fiction, but I know that real dancers are like this. They show that choreographer shows them the steps, and immediately they get it, and they're all following along. I'm like, man, that would take me a half hour to do the first two measures. But Nomi crushes it, and she gets. They like narrow it down to three people. And Nomi's one of them. And Tony, the prick director, asks them to take their tops off. Because he's like, I'm doing a topless show. I got to see your tits. And he, like, berates Nomi for her tits not being hard. And he's like, play with them a little bit. Pinch them. And she's pissed, but she's, like, obliging. And then he's like, I'm erect. Why aren't you erect? Ugh. What? Ooh. I get douche chills every time.
Me too, but I feel like her tolerance for this is a lot less isn't what it should be when you really want a job and you're a stripper.
That's what I said. That's exactly what I said
to
Mom.
Like, you can't just do what he says to get the fucking job. Like, it's right. Still better than riding guys in the back of a dirty strip club. Like, nut right. up.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said to Mom. I'm just like... On one hand, no one deserves to be spoken this way, but on the other hand, you'd think that she, it was like the ice is what crossed the line for her. He was like, pinch him. And she's like, okay, I'll pinch him. Then he's like, use ice. And then she's like, fuck your ice. She slaps it and runs away.
It's just nonsensical.
Yeah. And she like
she
runs.
She really is on her period.
The whole movie. She, like, runs backstage and sits down, and Crystal shows up. And Crystal looks all smug. And she's like, you enjoyed that, didn't you? And she's like, yeah, darling, I did. And she, Nomi tells Crystal that she hates her. And so Normie storms out, and on her way out, she runs into James, who is now working as a bellhop at the Stardust. And he, like, quits his job. He's, like, trying to talk to Nomi, and his boss is trying to get him to, you know, work. But he gets pissed and he quits and takes Nomi back to his place. And he shows her a dance that he choreographed that he said was inspired by Nomi, which I'm sure is
horseshit.
Yeah, he has this dance in the can. He uses this on women all the time. But they start dancing and she ends up like on his lap and he pulls her titties out and then he like... goes to put his hand down her pants and she's like, I'm on my period. And he's like, bullshit. And she's like, check. And he like puts his hand in her panties and touches her bahoo, which is so, it's just such a male thing to write. Like, no woman would be like, check. What?
Nothing.
Go ahead. It felt like you wanted to say something.
No.
But I love James, bless his heart, doesn't miss a beat. He's like, it's all right, I got towels.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah. He'll fuck you on your period.
that's what made me think, like, the whole outfit thing and the whole period thing, because I'm like, okay, he sticks his hand down there and checks. That means she's not wearing a tampon.
Right.
And she's wearing all these I'm just like, Jesus, the confidence.
I don't know. Right.
Is that a light flow? Like, we just don't realize what it's like to have a normal period, I guess.
Right. I'm just live their life. Like, can't relate. So Nomi gets the job despite her tantrum at the end of the audition. She gets the job. So she quits the job at the Cheetah. Tells Al to fuck off, basically. And she goes to James's place to tell him that she got the job. But James is there with Penny from the Cheetah. And I mean, to be fair, it's not like he was dating Nomi or anything. It's just, it's one of those, it's like a Ross Geller thing. Like, technically he didn't do anything wrong, but it just shows that he's skeevy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Nomi's like, okay, bye, whatever.
The whole thing with them is just bizarre. Bizarre.
Like, and serves no purpose.
Like, that whole Save the Last Dance scene should have been steamy, but it wasn't because she was spazzy. I don't know.
Yeah. So Nomi and Wally go shopping, and Nomi buys this really cute little black Versace dress. And she wears it to her first day at Goddess. And the producers compliment her, like, Dickhead Tony and the other people compliment her on her dress. And she's like, thank you, it's Versace.
I wanted to climb under the couch.
Which, credit where credit is due, Elizabeth Berkley came up with that idea, which I think is brilliant.
Oh, wow.
It makes me laugh. It makes me think of in Clueless when Alicia Silverstone calls them Haitians instead of Haitians.
Yes.
that was literally just Alicia Silverstone pronouncing it wrong. And they're like, keep it. Like, no one tell her. Wow. No one correct her. But no one corrects Nomi. They're just like, oh yeah, Versace. Yeah.
No, he corrects her.
Zach does. Zach is the only person who corrects her later.
Right.
Which kind of endears you to Zach, like, because he corrects her, but he doesn't mock her. He's just like, oh, you know, it's Versace and you look beautiful. So you're kind of like, oh, Zach's not a bad person, which turns out to be a bad person, but he's better than most of the people we've dealt with so far.
The whole dress thing makes me so sad because she's buying this piece because it's classy, you know, it's pretty, it's mm-hmm. fancy, it's expensive, but it's still too fucking short.
In Vegas, nothing's too short.
I guess so. But I'm like, this would be the perfect dress. Just 2 inches. Just 2 inches. And you could wear this dress anywhere. But no.
Right. Oh. It's beautiful, but it's also such a simple dress. Because Molly's even like, oh, I can make you that. It's just like, yeah, just let her make you. And instead of spending hundreds of dollars, just let her make it for you.
Oh, you know, symbolism and whatnot.
Yeah.
Got the fancy job. Got the fancy dress.
Buying it just because she could. She mm-hmm. got Crystal's $500 burning a hole in her pocket. So, so she has to go to the HR department and like give all of her information, and she just lies the whole time. So there's more evasiveness. So you get more of the idea. She's like, oh, she's hiding something. She did like doesn't even give her social security number. Says her whole family's dead. It's just. Something's up. She's being shady. Which is such bullshit because you couldn't pull that shit. It's just like, okay, well, you're going to give me all this information or you're not going to get paid. You know what right. I mean?
Right.
But Nomi goes into rehearsal to learn the choreography for the show and she does great. She learns really fast and they have her join the show like that night.
I need to know how much time lapses. Like before I think she's really on the stage every night. Like, a day or two? No way.
I mean, max. It's got to be. What are my cats doing? Oh, my God. Sorry. I just got distracted. So, Toddy and Bear are being very weird. Why can't you act normal when I'm recording? Why do you always lose your shit? Anyway. So she joins the show and she does great. She like, I think she like stumbles once, but otherwise she does great. So Crystal tries to make amends with Nomi and she takes her out to lunch. And they have a conversation. There's this ongoing running gag about how dancers can only eat brown rice and vegetables. And, you know, Crystal's like, do you actually like that? And she's like, no, it's worse than dog food. And Crystal's like, I've had dog food. And Nomi's like, me too. So you can see them bonding over having like a similar past and coming from nowhere, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so, the way it's written is just like, I love doggy chow. I'm like, oh God, this whole scene. And they like toast with chips. Like, again, women and chips. And then they have that really weird conversation about tits. She's like, I like nice tits. Do you like nice tits? And she's like, I like having nice tits. Like, how do you like having them? I'm like, what does that even mean?
Oh, God.
And what it means is, like, Crystal is signaling, like, I'm queer, basically. And Nomi is like, I'm not, but I like the attention, is the, what that conversation translates into.
Right.
But again, it's like, this whole scene, the dialogue is so bad, but everything has a purpose. And, like, you see the purpose, and you're just wishing it was executed better.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the theme of this freaking movie.
Whole movie! Yeah. It's like, oh, I get it, but it's not right. There's something not there. Ugh. And Crystal talks about how, you know, they sell sex and everything is transactional. So, like, you know, we take the cash, we cash the check, we're all whores. And Nomi rebukes that. She's like, I'm, you know, you may think yourself as a whore, but I'm not. And she's like, yeah, you're a whore too. We all are. So after lunch, they go back to the stage and to like practice a bit of the dance. And it gets a little steamy. And Crystal pulls Nomi's tits out and is stroking them. And they almost kiss. They're like going for a kiss. And Crystal, right before they kiss, Crystal says, you know, see, darling, you are a whore. Oof. And you can't say that to Nomi. That's what we learned. And so Nomi, like, flips out and leaves. And I want to understand Nomi better, because I don't think Nomi is queer. So, like, what is her? Does she feel like she would get somewhere by sleeping with Crystal or hooking up with Crystal? Or is she actually attracted to Crystal in some way? Or is it just because they, like, are so similar?
I feel like she's torn, like, you know, maybe I should keep her close.
Yeah.
Because she can affect my career. Or, you know, you keep your friends close, your enemies closer.
Yeah.
I don't feel like she's attracted to her, but I feel like she, I don't know, I feel like she knows kind of deep down that this woman could make or break her.
Yeah. But
just, like, put it in a dude's place. Or, you know, make her a boss.
Right. But that, you know, all it takes is Crystal to say that trigger is calling her a whore, and she sets her off, and that, you know, she throws her little tantrum and runs away.
Well, that just leads you to why she reacts that way. Like, what happened to her past? We need to know way much more about why it triggers her. These dumb little things.
Right. Well, it's all, I mean, it's all foreshadowing. That all gets revealed, but it's all, it's the build up to it. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
So Crystal recommends Nomi for the boat show. It's like an extra $1,000. You just have to go to this boat show and dance. And so, and Molly tries to warn her. She's like, don't do it. Like, I've heard girls say that they've done it and they didn't like it. Just don't go. And Nomi's like, fuck that, $1,000.
Yeah. She's like, $1,000. You can see the dollar signs in her eyes when the guy tells her how much.
Right.
Oh, okay.
But unfortunately, it is not just dancing at a boat show. After she dances, Phil, Zach's assistant, is there, and he has like these rich businessmen who want entertained. And they basically insinuate they're going to solicit her for sex. And she gets really pissed. Because what don't you do with Naomi Malone? Call her a whore. Or treat her like a whore. So she goes back to the Stardust and like throws a fit and tells Zach what happened. So Zach calls Phil up there and he like browbeats him for it. And he's like, if I ever hear that this happened again, you're fired, blah, blah, blah. And then after Naomi leaves, he calls Phil back and he like makes a joke about it. So it was all bullshit. They just did it to pacify her. Ugh. Juice chills. Because you're so sure up to this point that Zach is like the only decent person, and then womp womp. Yeah. It's let down. So we have the rival dancers, right? That I mentioned before. And the final straw, I guess, for the girl with the braids is her kids are backstage. And the other girl, the short hair girl, is mean to her kids. And that must be the final straw for this bitch, because she sabotages her. During a part of the number where short hair girl gets picked up over her head, gets picked up over another dancer's head, braids throws beads on the stage. And Naomi sees it happen. And doesn't say anything. And so the guy trips on the beads, making him drop short-haired girl. And short-haired lands, which is so funny because they show it. She lands on her ass, but somehow broke her knee.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, okay. Somehow broke her knee. And it cuts to like...
She's there in the middle of the floor. Like, Nancy Kerrigan and everything's just going on around her.
Totally Nancy Kerrigan. Just, And, like, she must lay there for the rest of the show. I'm going to assume that's, like, the final number because the theater's empty and she's laying in the exact same spot. I was like, did everyone just take their bowels around her? Yeah. Just left her there. That short-haired girl apparently was Crystal's understudy. So, now that position is vacant. So, Naomi ends up going home with Zach. The scene. So, they're at Zach's house. And they're in the pool. And my first objection is the, like, pouring champagne on her. I'm like, okay, not only is that bad for your pool, that'd be really sticky and gross. So, ew. Like, I get it. Oh, it's sexy. You're going to lick the champagne. Don't. If anyone did that to me, I'd be like, are you out of your goddamn mind? You want ants? That's how you get ants. Like, but then we go into the most insane sex scene that has ever been put on film. Like, what is she doing? What is happening? First of all,
waterboarding her is what it looks like. I can't breathe through this entire scene. I'm like, oh my god.
First off, like the where she's wrapped around him. So like, okay, so Zach is like standing up in the pool, right? And she has her legs wrapped around him and is like is floating essentially, but she's like wrapped around his middle. So she's like fucking his ribcage. First of all, she's nowhere near his dick and she's flailing like she's having a seizure.
And again, he's anchored to nothing in the water.
He must have a death grip on her hips, man. Cause otherwise she would have taken him down. It was like, she's drowning. You know how like when people drown, they flail and take people down with them. Like that's
exactly what it was like. Tell me where you hid the diamonds!
I get so irritated. Like, when I was doing research for this, I was, like, reading interviews and stuff with people. And there's interviews with Kyle MacLachlan talking about how, like, when he first watched the film at the premiere, how his heart just, like, sank. And he's like, oh, this, you know, is so terrible. I'm like, Kyle, you were there when they filmed it. You can't give me this, like, you know... hindsight is 2020 bullshit. You were there. You had to have known in the moment that what they were having Elizabeth Berkley do was insane. There's no way you can be involved in the filming of that scene and not go, can we do that again? Maybe not as insane?
Well, there's the question. How many takes of this did they do? And was this the best?
Right. Is there a take somewhere where they have sex like normal people? Put that on the DVD. Like,
the if takes... I had watched this before I had ever had pool sex, I would have never had pool sex.
No. I don't know how people have pool sex. I almost did. But we got out immediately and just went to the bedroom. Like, it's so uncomfortable and it's so bad for you. Don't have pool sex, boys and girls.
Oh, I didn't care. I loved it.
Ugh.
I so immediately bad. Got out and went into the shower room and cleaned up. But I loved it. It was I weighed 2 pounds. But again, anchored on the fucking ladder. And it wasn't right. It wasn't my pool, so whatever.
I turned to Mom and I said, Mom, have you ever had sex in a pool? And she goes, not that you know of. Crystal calls Zach out for it. She's like, you slept with her, didn't you? She can tell from how persistent he's being about her getting the job. And Zach is like, are you jealous of her for sleeping with me? Or are you just mad that I beat you to the punch?
Ooh,
yeah. And Crystal's pissed, obviously. So they give the job to Nomi, but Crystal, being pissed, threatens legal action, and they have to rescind the offer. Which, sucks for Nomi, but what can you do?
Mm-hmm.
So Nomi goes to the Crave Club to see James dance. It's him and Penny and another dancer. And he gets booed off the stage because everyone's like, no one wants to see this artsy fartsy bullshit. And Nomi goes up to him and is like, it was good, tries to be nice. And he's like, whatever. And he tells Nomi that he got a job at a grocery store because Penny's pregnant. Which, ha-ha! That's what you get! Womanizing piece of garbage.
I don't know how he gets all these jobs. He got a different job every day.
Right? So they say their farewells, and that's the last we see of James. Again, his part in this movie was completely pointless. So the next night we see them performing Goddess, right? And I must say, the leather BDSM motorcycle portion, awesome.
Yeah, that's the best part.
It's very hot. I love the costumes. They're very cool. I like the harnesses that contour around their boobies. It's very cool. I was talking shit, but the more I think about it, I'm just I'd pay to watch this. But there's a part during that part of the number where Crystal and Nomi have to dance with each other. And at the end, I always thought that that was part of the number or whatever, but I guess Crystal calls Nomi slave girl or something, and it just pushes Nomi over the edge. Something about this night and Crystal rescinding the job offer, just Nomi's had enough. So they have to run up and down these big stairs, metal stairs, to get up to the backstage area. And while they're going back down to the dressing rooms, Nomi pushes Crystal down the stairs. And what kills me is she doesn't trip her or does anything stealthy. She just puts her hands on her back and shoves.
Uh-huh.
Which, that is really risky, because it could have, Crystal lost consciousness and didn't really say anything, but she could have been like, that bitch pushed me.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah, she really lucks out because Crystal's just out of it and doesn't say anything. But Braid's girl, who sabotages short haired girl, and knows that Nomi saw her do it and didn't say anything, lies for Nomi and says that she saw it happened and that Crystal just fell on accident. So they have this weird watching out for each other thing going on. But Molly was looking at Braids when it happened and knows that her back was to it. So she knows that Braids is lying. So Molly suspects Nomi, like, knows what's up, knows that Nomi probably pushed her and is pissed. Crystal's hip is broken and she has to be out of the show for a long time. So Zach convinces the producers to cast Nomi as the lead. Which makes no sense, because if Crystal had the legal power to, like, choose who her understudy was, she would have the same legal power to choose who would replace her for a long stint.
Thank you.
Like, unless something in her contract says that if Crystal breaks a hip, all of her contract is void. It doesn't make any sense. I love it how when they're talking to the producers, just like, let's get a big name in, like Janet Jackson or Paula Abdul. It's like, Paula Abdul's not going to go on stage showing her titties. Like,
that's exactly what I said. I said, Paula, too classy for that.
So Nomi is the new lead of Goddess. And I got to say, my, like, favorite shot of the movie is when she first comes out of that volcano and she has, like, all the sparklies and stuff in her hair. That shot's really pretty. She looks really cool.
Yeah.
She's got, like, glitter on her nipples and glitter in her hair, and she's just kind of glowing. She looks amazing. I think that Elizabeth Berkley is pretty. Mom does not. And Mom, like, hates how she's built and commented on it the whole movie.
That's the only thing I can say. I think she's pretty. I love her hair. I'm not crazy about her butt. But other than that,
there's something
like in jeans, it's okay. I just don't like to see her in a G-string.
Yeah.
It just doesn't do anything for me. But I think, I mean, why wouldn't you want to be built like that? Fuck off.
There's something about, like, you're right. Her whole, like, hip and ass area is the only thing that's not ideal. But otherwise, she's, like, perfect.
Yeah.
But yeah, Mom just couldn't get over it. There's something about her hips that Mom was just like, I hate them. Like, all right, calm down. But she does great as the lead, apparently. The press is there. Everyone's raving over the new lead. And, of course, they're laying it on pretty thick. Like, the producers are, like, trying to turn her into a star, knowing it's completely unwarranted. But they're trying to draw as much attention to her as possible. Like, oh, Nomi Malone is what Vegas is all about. Blah, 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 blah. So Molly is still pissed and not speaking to Nomi. But Nomi wins her over by inviting her to an after party where Andrew Carver will be. And Andrew Carver is like this, I don't know, who would you compare him to?
God, I don't know. He's a singer, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a singer, but he's like, oh, who am I thinking of? Who did Mom love when we were little?
Michael Bolton?
Michael Bolton, that's his name. He's very Michael Bolton, like long wavy hair and blah, blah, blah. And he looks like a wrestler.
He does.
But Molly loves Andrew Carver, and he's supposedly going to be at this party. So Nomi's like, you know, forgive me and come to this party and you get to meet Andrew and it'll be great. So Molly, like, forgives Nomi or whatever and goes to this party. And she introduces her to Andrew. And while the party's going on, trigger warning for sexual assault from this point on. Andrew and a couple of his bodyguards not only rape Molly, but, like, beat the shit out of and rape Molly. It's, like, one of the more violent rapes depicted on film, to be completely honest. And I've seen some crazy shit.
I agree.
Apparently, it took, like, 9 hours to film. And the actress who played Molly said, like, it traumatized her. She's like, when you do something like that, your body doesn't understand that it's fake, you know?
Yeah.
And of course, like I said, Molly's like the only decent character in this whole movie, and then the worst thing possible is it happens to her. It's just so afterwards she stumbles out after being attacked and she's all bloodied and beaten, and they take her to the hospital, and Nomi, of course, wants to call the cops. But Zach won't let her because Andrew, you know, is part of the Vegas family and we have to protect Andrew and blah, blah, blah. And Naomi's like, well, fuck you, I'm going to call the cops anyway. And Zach, earlier in the movie, had told Phil to, like, find out more about Naomi's background. And, of course, because she lied when she applied and didn't and gave, like, a fake Social Security number. So they did a background check on her from her fingerprints from being arrested. Which, how did they even know she was arrested? How they've found all this information, I'm still unclear. But they did a whole background check and revealed that her real name is Polly Ann something or other. Which is why she was, like, so triggered when that director is, like, called her Pollyanna.
Right. Nailed it.
Yeah. She's like, what'd you call me? And she has, like, this really awful track record. Like, her dad killed her mom and then himself. And she has a bunch of stuff on her record from soliciting sex. So she actually used to be a sex worker. And that's why she's so, get so upset when people call her a whore. And when you consider the fact that she's only 19, all of those arrests and stuff, like, how long was she being a sex worker?
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's very upsetting. So Zach basically just convinces her not to call the cops because of who she is and she doesn't want to, like, out her. And, you know, Naomi very easily could have just kept her mouth shut and kept going and been the star at Goddess and sold her soul to the devil. But to be fair, she doesn't. And she dresses up and she goes to see Andrew Carver. Like, she's there to fuck him. Which, by the way, did you notice she put, like, lipstick on her nipples?
Thank you. I was like, why are they so dark?
She, like, put lipstick. I don't know why, but she sure did. She goes and she kicks the shit out of Andrew Carver.
Which makes for a great movie, but let's get real here. Like, I understand that this guy had information on her that could screw her over. But based on the decisions and stuff that she makes, like, what would it have done?
Right.
Like, you could have still called the cops anonymously. Or you could have still told them. It's not about her. Like, they're not going to fucking dig in any information on her.
Right.
And it might not have even taken it anywhere, but you could have at least tried. If you're going to put yourself out here like that.
Yeah. Like, it's a very, entertaining notion for a movie of, like, just kicking the shit out of him makes it all better. But it doesn't, really. There's a million different things she could have done. Poor Molly is still in the hospital. She's, like, unconscious. They have her all doped up because she's so traumatized. It's so upsetting. So Naomi kicks the shit out of Andrew Carver, and then she comes to say goodbye to Molly. And then while she's at the hospital, she goes and says goodbye to Crystal. And she's like, why didn't you rat me out? Why didn't you say anything about me pushing you? And Crystal was just like, I was tired. I needed a break. Which is good of her, I guess. She could have, really fucked Naomi over, but she's like, whatever. I was gonna say, you can tell that, like, that lifestyle was wearing thin on Crystal, and people were starting to call her old, and she was over it. But Naomi and Crystal finally kiss. They share a kiss before she leaves. And so the Naomi goes back out on the interstate and hitchhikes, and she gets picked up by the same guy. And he's like, oh, shit. Which, what are the odds?
I love that, though. That's one of my favorite things in movies and in, like, storytelling and jokes. The full circle.
Yeah, totally. And then the film pans out. We see this huge Naomi Malone is a goddess billboard along the interstate. And Naomi leaves town. And that's the end of the movie. I don't know. I don't know if there's any version of this movie that would have been good. Better. It's good. I love it. It's good. I like it. But so many different things would have had to been different for it to have been, like, a serious film.
Yeah.
I don't know. Your laptop sounds like it's going to explode.
We're working it hard today, man.
If anyone wonders what that noise is, it's Lacey's poor laptop. It's on the struggle bus.
Which my mother replaced at Christmas, by the way. And I'm still sitting here using the dinosaur.
So the film swept the Razzies, the Razzie Awards, 16th annual Razzie Awards. And Paul Verhoeven actually turned up in person to accept Worst Director and Worst Picture. He was the first director to ever turn up to collect the award.
Wow.
Yeah. So he was a good sport. He kind of pulled a Tommy Wiseau, where he clearly tried to make a serious movie, but then after it came out and it wasn't taken seriously, he was like, oh yeah, I'm in on the joke. No, you weren't. And proof of that, they talked about in the documentary, which I thought was hilarious, was he wrote this like book to accompany the release of the film. It's like one of those big coffee table books with a bunch of photography in it. But if you read like the essays and shit he wrote for this book, you can tell how serious he was taking the film. Mm-hmm. And he just didn't make the right choices as director. But now is being like, oh yeah, I totally did all this on purpose. It's like, no, you didn't. And we have proof. You wrote all this bullshit in this book. But whatever, if he wants to play along, more power to him.
We skipped over my favorite line in the movie. And it's just so bizarre. The whole thing is so bizarre.
It must be weird to not have people come on you.
Oh my God. How can you do that?
Because it's the only part I skipped over, I completely forgot. And as soon as you said you skipped over, I was like, oh, I did miss a scene.
Because it was like a touching moment. There was like this la 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 thing going on in the background. But then he says that. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. Al and Henrietta come to visit Nomi at the Stardust and see how she's doing. And Lacey's right. It is framed as this really sweet scene of like people from her past coming and cheering her on. It's like, it must be weird not to have people come on you. Thanks, Al. Good talk.
Oh, God.
Is there anything, any other parts of the, that I skipped?
I don't think so. I just wrote down, take a shot every time she storms away.
Oh my God. That'd be great. Oh, there's gotta be a Showgirls drinking game out there. I want to play. Get hammered.
You would be hammered before the middle of the movie, no matter what angle you played it, I'm sure.
So, poor Elizabeth Berkley. She was only paid $100,000 for playing the lead in this film. Which is bullshit when you consider how much money like the writer and director was getting paid. And that poor bitch was naked all day in heels, dancing her ass off. Only got $100,000. Man.
That's crazy.
Yeah. When a special VIP edition box set of the movie was released in 2004, she requested $2,500 to be interviewed, and they declined.
What?
Yeah, they wouldn't give her $2,500 to be on this. But poor, I think that's reasonable, frankly, to be on record to talk about this piece of shit movie that ruined your career.
Yeah.
She's just like, I'll do it for some coin. And they said, no, that's fucked up. Because again, I don't think it was her fault. I think Paul pushed her. And I mean, this was her first big film. She went from a kid's television show, which the acting in that is so over the top anyway. You would need a good direction to like handle that transition. So I don't really think it was all her fault. She was just not, she was directed poorly. I feel bad for her.
I can't believe I'm about to say this, but you know what else is not her fault? The point of view that I have of Jesse Spano. And I know this is going to sound stupid, but I swear to God, I have always resented Jesse Spano because when we were kids, I can't believe I'm going to say this. So, like, when we were kids, we always played Saved by the Bell on the playground. Like, we role-played it. There was, like, three girls and three boys in my little group, right? Mm-hmm. And I always had to be Jesse. But I always wanted to be, I would have even settled for Kelly. Because what happened was, I'm not going to say this person's name, but the boy, I'll just say his last name is McManus. The guy that I always got coupled with was always Slater. So, like, every freaking day on the freaking, in recess, I had to be boyfriend, girlfriend with the one guy in the group that I didn't like. I'm like, I'll be Lisa. I'll take Screech. I don't care. Like, I don't. And I just wanted to be fucking Kelly, and I never got to be Kelly. I always had to be Jesse. And this guy, he would just, like, run up to me and, like, wrap his arms around me and be like, hey, mama. And it just, like, triggered the shit out of me. Even, like, 10 years later, I'd see him, and he'd, like, smile at me, and I'd be like, ugh. So going into this, I already hate Jesse Spano because it was my destiny, and I didn't want to be Jesse Spano. I wanted to wear the damn cheerleading costume and date Zach Morris for a change. Yeah.
That's so funny.
We never switched it up. Like, at least on the real Saved by the Bell, there was some love triangles, and sometimes, like, Zach and maybe Lisa would be sniffing around each other, or maybe some, it just never changed. It just never got switched up. I hated it.
Oh, poor little Lacey and her Jesse Spano baggage. That's so funny.
I don't know if I've ever told you. I've told Sam that before, I'm sure.
So as of 2009, which when this little trivia fact was recorded, it may have changed since then. I don't think it has. Showgirls is the highest grossing NC-17 movie of all time. And was, like I said earlier, the only NC-17 film to ever get a wide distribution. I love NC-17 films, not just because I'm pervy, but, like, there's something inherently subversive about them usually. Mm-hmm. Because they don't, like, if someone's, like, makes a movie that's NC-17, most of the time they don't give a shit. Like, they know that it's not going to get wide distribution. I also really love the documentary. It's impossible to find nowadays, which is upsetting. But there's a documentary called This Film Is Not Yet Rated that goes into the whole history of the MPAA and how it works. It's a really good documentary.
I've seen that, actually.
Yeah, I love the documentary. Paul Verhoeven wanted to direct a sequel called Know Me Does Hollywood. However, after this film was so badly received, nobody would give him money to make it. But in 2011, actress Rena Rifle wrote, directed, produced, and starred in an unofficial sequel slash parody of the film titled Showgirls, Pennies from Heaven. Rena Rifle was the girl that played Penny. So she reprised her role as Penny.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And the film essentially follows the same plot as the original. I haven't seen it yet, but I want to.
Interesting.
The show was also turned into an off-Broadway musical in 2013. Well, it was off-Broadway. It was a parody musical. I've only heard... They play a song from it in the documentary that I watched called Horrier. It's like a whore and a warrior combined.
Nice.
But these are the songs from this musical. Fucking Underwater, Boat Show, The Horrier, Different Places, parentheses, the Dead Hooker song. Dancing Ain't Fucking Girl, You're a Whore Darling, The Best Friend song, and Don't Lick That Pole Girl.
I guess that pretty much covers it all, though, doesn't it?
I would love to see this. Again, that would be amazing. And like I said, of course, there's that documentary that is like $3 to rent on Amazon. If you're into this movie, I recommend it. There were some times, though, not that this movie doesn't warrant some deep thought. You know, it does. That things were trying to be said, and it made an impact in pop culture. But there were some parts of the documentary where the people talking were taking this movie so seriously. And I was just like, man, I don't think it's all that serious. Have you ever seen the documentary Room 237?
Don't think so.
It's this doc, I recommend. It's this documentary about The Shining. And when it starts, you think it's like all of these academics and their interpretations of the film. But it slowly unravels into this fucking insane examination of conspiracy theories around The Shining. And so all these people, you never see any of the people talking. It's all just footage from the movie. But you hear these people. And what you think are like film critics and like intelligent people, they just slowly reveal themselves to be completely cuckoo bananas and think that the movie is about the moon landing and
Satan, my husband would eat this up.
You have to watch it. It is so fucking funny. And there were parts of You Don't Know Me that was reminding me of 237 because people were talking about the symbolism and this demon over her shoulder and it means this, and then just shows this person in a wheelchair that means this. I'm just like, I think you're giving Paul Verhoeven too much credit. It's not that serious. We have been talking about this movie for an hour and 40 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah. Should probably wrap it up. But yeah, do you have any final thoughts on Showgirls?
Oh, I kind of want to watch it now again, like, and pretend like she's my favorite actress and see what happens.
We should, or like, find...
Watch the documentary or something and then watch it again. Something like that.
Yeah. It's interesting. You can watch it every single time and take a different perspective. It's a roller coaster every time you watch it.
I've only seen it like twice, so maybe the third time will be different. Oh, you know what? I don't know if I told you this or not. I tweeted it the other day, but I've been doing these surveys online in exchange for Amazon monies.
Ooh.
So maybe I could like rent the documentary with my free monies.
There you go. That's fun. Yeah, I mean, if you've made it this far into this podcast, surely you have seen this movie already. If you haven't seen this movie, it's free on Tubi right now. Please go watch it. Please, please, please go watch it. And if you have the option, watch it with your mom, because holy shit, is entertaining. I love this movie. I love that it's a cult classic. The thing I love about the fact that it's a cult classic is there are some movies that are cult, become a cult status or a camp classic, because I don't think you can do camp on purpose. Like that, the whole concept of camp is inadvertently making something campy, right?
Yeah.
Like, let's use Rocky Horror Picture Show as an example. That was Richard O'Brien's first movie, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you can always, or The Room, or Ed Wood. Whoever is making the movie is usually naive in their attempt.
Mm-hmm.
Or are purposely trying to say something subversive. And so it doesn't ring to a mainstream crowd and immediately gets like this niche market because of the themes of it. This movie is not that. This movie is mainstream, well-versed, very rich and powerful men making something that just failed on every level. So its cult status is so funny to me and so different to from other movies that it's just, I think it's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's fascinating. I would love to go to a midnight showing of it sometime. That'd be fun. That's Showgirls. In the episode description, you will find a Linktree link that will take you to all of our social media accounts. Follow us there. You can at us if you ever have any questions or comments or concerns or requests. You can also email us at wearetheweirdospodcast@gmail.com. Also in the episode description is a link to our support page where you can make a one-time donation or sign up for a monthly patronage to support the pod. If you can't support us financially, you can support us by sharing the podcast with your friends and followers to help grow our audience. Our loyal audience that comes back for every episode, you know who you are. I love you very much and appreciate you. Thank you for sticking around to this ridiculous nonsense. shout out to GGG Discord. If anyone from there has come here, you know who you are. Hello, I love you. Thank you, Lacey, for watching this piece of shit and talking about it with me.
I love that.
And until next time, we are the Weirdos, mister.